Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, thank you for that. And, okay, I'll do it. I'll tell you what I think about you. You're highly intelligent if you've already been listening. And those of you who just tuned in, that's what you got to look forward to. Dr. And the reason I say that is more true in this segment than virtually any other segment, except maybe the next hour, because this half hour, Pierce Howard is with us, Dr. Pierce Howard, the author of The Owner's Manual for the Brain, not the least bit presumptuous title, that is, and the co-author, along with Jane Howard, his lovely wife, of The Owner's Manual for Personality at Work. Pierce, welcome back to the show.
Greetings. Pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you back. By the way, did you know that this is National Older Americans Month? I mean, I know this doesn't mean anything to you, but for me, this I'm kind of glad to see that older Americans, those guys, are being recognized this month. What do you think?
Well, I think it's fine. Although, like, I like what IBM once did with National Secretary's Day. Instead of taking secretaries out, they said, why celebrate one job role? Why not take the whole team out for lunch?
Right, right.
And I feel the same way about old people. Why celebrate them once a year?
Exactly.
Why not do it every week?
I tell my children that all the time. But you know what? I don't usually get a whole lot of that. Have you ever heard of a guy named Joel Barker? Wrote the book Paradigms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's going to be on the show in the next hour.
Oh, great.
I'm excited about him. That's one of the books that I read in the 80s that really had an impact on me. And so I'm looking forward to getting Joel on the show. Pierce and I are going to talk about, we're going to talk about gender differences, his brain, her brain, right?
Yes.
And as I say, Pierce has written, and by the way, I've got the third edition. The fourth, that's not the new one though, right?
The current edition is the third.
The third. Okay, so this is a brand new one I've got in front of me then. Okay.
Yes.
The third edition. It's got all the new stuff. And this is The Owner's Manual for the Brain, Everyday Applications from Mind-Brain Research by our good friend Dr. Pierce Howard. Pierce, now, I have fun all the time with this difference between men and women, with my wife and I, and I think she probably would admit that I have most of the fun, but because I do like to point out the differences in between men and women, but we are different, aren't we?
Well, apart from the surface differences, the under the surface differences are a little bit more difficult. We know that the difference in primary sexual characteristics with, you know, beards and breasts and things like that are physiological, they're genetic.
Anatomical differences.
Those are kind of no-brainers. The other ones are trickier. For example,
And viva la difference, I think I should say here.
Sure, yeah.
Go ahead.
The same thing with the world at large. I mean, there are differences with Americans and Chinese and et cetera, and vive la difference, as long as we have peace, but which goes with men and women too. But one of the major differences, and this is, I think, very important, with Joel Barker coming in the next hour to talk about paradigms, one of the major differences in men and women, according to the traditional view, is that men tend to be to have greater ability at mathematics and logic and visual spatial reasoning, and that women tend to have greater ability verbally.
You know, this is what got Larry Summers fired.
Well, that's
from,
true.
From now, Harvard,
so
one of the things.
So let me explain.
you better explain yourself there, Pierce.
Yeah. Well, here is the deal. The scientists have been trying to determine why there's this difference. Is it because of innate, genetic, inborn differences that cannot be eradicated? Or is it because of cultural influences?
Mm-hmm.
Is it that boys are encouraged along one line from an early age and girls are encouraged along a different line? Or is it because of genetics? Now, it so happens that the two countries in the world that have the smallest gaps that are still narrowing between verbal and numerical abilities in men and women are Sweden and the United States.
Say that again.
The countries in the world that are showing the closing of the gap in verbal and numerical abilities
between men and women.
Sexes. Are Sweden and the United States, and they happen to be the two countries with the most advanced policies with respect to sex discrimination.
Very interesting. I'm going to get you explain yourself a little bit more on that line when we come back right after these messages. We've got a lot more to come with our good friend Dr. Pierce Howard, the author of The Owner's Manual for the Brain. I'm Jim Blassingame, and I'll be right back with Pierce Howard. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Dr. Pierce Howard, the author of The Owner's Manual for the Brain, and we're talking about the differences between men and women, the way they think, how they process information, how they communicate, how they explain their ideas, and how they follow the professional directions, and why they do that, why they follow the professional directions that they do and the educational directions that they do. And Pierce, you were just telling us that you determined something very interesting, and I want you to say it again, even though you said it once. I want you to say it again about the connection between Sweden and the United States.
Yes. The issue, Jim, is whether or not math and verbal abilities are learned or whether you're born with them. And there is a gap in measured math and verbal ability. Women outscore men as a group on verbal ability,
mm-hmm.
and men outscore women on verbal and visual spatial ability. I mean, math and visual spatial ability.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, why is that gap there? And so researchers have looked at countries where the gap is closing. And the two countries where the gap is closing at the greatest rate, and today there's the smallest gap in the world, are Sweden and the United States. And those two countries happen to be the two countries with the most advanced national legislation that prohibits sex discrimination,
mm-hmm.
and equal opportunity for the sexes,
and that promotes that doesn't allow for the repression of one gender or the other in any area.
Exactly, at least legally.
Right.
Now, an example of how culturally women have been discouraged from math science culturally is a book that the National Association of Mathematics came out with about 20 years ago. I remember it was a little red book that I read, and it was because Women in Mathematics was the name of it. And they made this was a very interesting point, and I know you love your grandchildren, and this is something to keep in mind, for everybody to keep in mind with their children and grandchildren. The typical boy is provided with manipulative objects such as Lincoln Logs, mm-hmm. Erector sets, Lego blocks, Tinker toys, from an early age, from an age when they're not going to put them in their mouth and try to swallow them. But from an early age, they're given construction materials. They're given manipulative objects where they can learn basic mathematical concepts like transitivity and associativity and reversibility and give me two greens for a yellow and that sort of thing. And they learn these relationships, which are critical for math logic. Girls, the stereotypical girl, the traditional American girl, does not get such manipulative objects in order to learn these concepts. The traditional girl does not get these manipulative objects until she's around 9 or 10 or 11 in the form of sewing and cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Now, by the time they get those manipulative objects that will help them learn math skills, they have already started a pattern of failure in schools.
So you actually believe that the environment has a great deal to do, it sounds to me like, Pierce, you believe that it has a great deal to do with the differences between men and women in math skills and those kinds of things?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, let me say this now. I've raised a boy and a girl. And I remember being aware of the differences, and we didn't, you know, that we didn't put them into an experiment or anything, but I did notice how they behaved around different things, and now my daughter is a lady, but she also was an athlete.
Yes.
A very, very successful athlete through all the way through college, and so she was, you know, she wasn't a perky, you know, cheerleader type,
right?
And she was a serious person, but she was also very, very feminine.
Certainly.
But I remember when they were little, if you put toys in front of both of them. When she was 3-4 years old, she gravitated towards the things that girls liked, you typically think girls liked, and my son gravitated towards the things that boys liked. I mean, without pushing anything in front of them, laid out with a room full of things that they could play with, she would be more likely to pick up what you would think would be the classic female toys.
Yeah, there's a lot.
And there was no encouragement on our part at all.
Yeah, there's a lot of research on that, Jim, and it's very difficult to sort out the whys, but you are absolutely right.
Can I tell you a real quick little story? I remember at 12 years old, tucking her into bed at night, the Saturday before Easter, or it was a Sunday. It was a Saturday night anyway. I think it was before Easter. I don't remember, but for sure. But anyway. On her bed, near her bed, when I tucked her in, was her ratty, dirty, nasty, completely worn out baseball glove,
mm-hmm.
and her beautiful Sunday dress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, both laid out there together. Now, you know, I'll just never forget that.
Yeah. One kind of interesting story with my two girls, both when they were young, when they were 3, 4, and 5 years old. They got the Erector sets and the Lincoln Logs and the Lego blocks and the Tinker Toys.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked. Both of them earned math awards in elementary school.
Hmm.
So, but then in later elementary school, when I wanted to build a model railroad with them,
right.
They didn't have the slightest bit of interest in it.
Well, okay. That's a very interesting point. I think you're proving my point. Stand by. 10 till. We'll be right back with Pierce Howard. Stay with us. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Pierce Howard, Dr. Pierce Howard, the author of The Owner's Manual for the Brain. Pierce, give us your website, please, and tell us where the book's available.
www.syntax.com.
Syntax.
Books are available online and at your favorite bookstore. And one of my favorite bookstores is PowellBooks.com. I don't know if any of your listeners are familiar with them.
Powell Books?
PowellBooks.com. It's in Portland, Oregon. And it's a huge bookstore. It's like three stories tall. It occupies a whole city block. And when you walk in the front door, they give you a map. It's a wonderful
and a guide that takes your hand. Huh?
Yes, and they also have an excellent online service.
All right, so check that out, folks. Pierce, one of the things that's interesting to me, see, I don't think, I never have thought, I grew up taking lots of science courses in high school and in college, and there were plenty of girls in our classes. It weren't just boys. So I never have thought about women, being stereotypical about, you know, not doing math, not doing science, that kind of thing. That never occurred to me. But it has been interesting to me to observe the difference between the way men and women process information, the way men and women make decisions, the way they think about where they're going. And it does seem to me that in terms of being strategic thinkers, meaning, you know, if I go put to point, sort of like a chess match kind of thing, if I go in this direction, this will happen, and therefore, in other words, the cause and effect kind of thing. It seems to me that men are better in general, and I'm going to get in a lot of trouble for this, but it seems to me that they are more adept, I should say, at strategic thinking than women are. Now, what do you get me out of trouble here, Pierce?
Okay, let's first of all talk about a physical difference that relates to this issue, and what are the implications of that, and what it makes who better at. The physical difference is this: you know, the brain has two hemispheres. You got your left brain and your right brain.
Right.
And they're pretty much symmetrical. You know, one's relatively equal to the other. With one kind of exception, the linear side of the brain is the left side of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part that does language and logic.
And the one that says, you have to be kidding me, you're not going to do that, are you?
Yeah, and the right side of the brain is the one that processes emotions, particularly the negative emotions. Now, there is a connector called the corpus callosum. It's a bundle of nerve fibers that connects the two hemispheres. And the corpus callosum in the typical woman is larger and denser than it is in the typical male.
Hmm.
Now, the implication there is that, for example, if you can envision the corpus callosum as like a freeway, the woman has more avenues, more lanes between the left and right brain than the typical male. So that, you know, the traditional lament of the woman is, I can't get my husband to talk about serious matters and to have an intimate chat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reason is that for the typical male, it is very difficult for him to connect those negative emotions with language.
And she's got an 8-lane highway between them.
Exactly. Now, does that mean one is better? No, I think it's a difference. For example, the man, the typical man, now not all men are this way. In some men, there is a larger corpus callosum. In some women, there's a smaller one. So we best talk about the feminized brain and the masculinized brain, because it's not an absolute difference. But the typical male with the smaller corpus callosum is going to be working on a linear problem, and what's going to happen? They're going to be relatively unbothered by emotional intrusions.
Right.
Whereas the typical female may start out linearly, and then there'll be these...
worry about all these other things.
Which, in fact, if you have people in your decision-making body, they need to be worried
right.
about these emotional things.
Right.
In fact, I would say that Enron would have been much better off if they'd had some people with larger corpus callosums.
One of
the top decision-making groups.
I think you're right about that. One of the things that I think you're talking about, Pierce, is one of the reasons why maybe men don't say "I love you" to their ladies more often is because women then turn around and say, "Well, couldn't tell me why you love me." Then we got to get into this whole discussion about it. Hey, Pierce, thanks for being here. Good job, and thanks for not letting me get into too much trouble. We'll see you next time. Pierce Howard, ladies and gentlemen, that's syntaxwithac.com. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be back on the other side of the news. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.